Blog Talk Radio.
For a brand new day. I want to thank you, Lord, for a brand new day, new mercies. Thank you for forgiving us, Jesus, in this brand new day. Thank you for healing us, Jesus, in this brand new day. Thank you, dear Father, for just healing our minds, giving us directions, dear Father. Oh, dear Father, so much trouble's going on in lives right now today, and we're able to just stand up for those who are able to stand up. Oh, dear Father, after being on their knees crying, who are able to stand up, after laying in their bed weeping during the night, but are able to still stand up and say, I'm letting go and I'm letting God. I thank you. That's because of you. That's because of your comfort. That's because of your joy. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you so much for your peace. I thank you for your body of Christ. I thank you for giving unto us. I thank you for this day. I thank you for all of the listeners. I thank you, dear Father, for all of the ones that are reaching out and just walking on their faith, and they're speaking and opening their mouth and speaking words of faith to their situations, dear Father. They refuse to bow down, and I thank you, Lord Jesus. They refusing to give up, and I thank you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for all of those, dear Father, that would not take out the time today to say thank you, Jesus. Oh, I don't want any rocks crying out for me, so I thank you on their behalf. I thank you because you are good, God. I thank you because your word is everlasting. I thank you, dear Father, for being one that is never sleeps or slumbers, dear Father. I thank you for being a directional God, for, dear Father, for forgiving us of our sins, loving us enough not to leave us, loving us enough to chastise us, loving us enough to be there, loving us enough to send someone there in the midst of the midst of the midst of the storm. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, and I pray your name. I open my mouth, and we invite you to come and use me, your servant, right now, dear Father. Let I move aside, and all of those that have whatever situations their needs are, whether it's tonight, whether it's in the archives when they're listening to this, you know the time that they should be here. You know their needs, dear Father, and we ask that you provide for them. Cover their minds, dear Father, from destruction, dear Father. Cover their children, dear Father. Cover their families, dear Father. Dear Father, miles between individuals cannot separate you, dear Father. You're everywhere. You're all around. You see all. You know all. And we cancel out all of the demonic spirits that is in the midst right now of the body of Christ right now, all in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. We cover it right now. And may the real people of Christ, may the real saints of God who are really, really real about you, Jesus, may we be revealed to get out there and spread the word. Dear Father, may we not hinder ourselves, dear Father, and may we not boast and brag about what we are, dear Father, but may it be all because of you, all because of you. May it be all because of you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. And as we call out the beginning of our prayer list tonight, oh, dear Father, we bring them to you because you said that we could bring all of our requests to you. You are a healer. You said you are Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and you are the ending. We trust in you for one thing, and we trust in you for all things. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask this program to be dedicated back to you, dear Father, dedicated to you, dear Father. We invite you, dear Father, to come and speak your word to your people, all like no one else can. We thank you. We're so thankful right now, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all preachers and teachers and leaders, hallelujah, that are called by your name, that is chosen by your hand, that has doing your will in this world. Right now, today, hallelujah, blessings over us all. We ask, dear Father, for you to heal and bless Sister Helene Arnold, hallelujah, as we go into tomorrow, dear Father, to the doctors and just heal her, Jesus. Just, you are the physician, the great physician, so we are calling out your divine intervention in this case, dear Father, and we're walking on your faith and we're living by your word and we believe, dear Father, in your word. So we've already received the best joy, and that's just knowing that your comfort is all around us. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for that, Jesus. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, and we just say thank you, Jesus, for Sister Veronica Cox, dear Father, as she goes in on the 14th, for her surgery, dear Father. Dear Father, you know the income, you know the outcome. I thank you for the ground that she walks on is in faith. I thank you that when she gets up in the morning time, her prayer is not just words, but they're a relationship, and they're touching you, and she's receiving answers from you, and she has so much comfort in all that is going on because of you. And when she come and ask the woman of God to touch and agree, I thank you, dear Father, that the Spirit just uplift us both. Hallelujah, in the midst of wherever we were, that we just felt your peace, we felt your okay
everything is okay. We felt the okayness of all the situations. So whatever the doctors, nurses, and anybody that is involved in it, we ask blessings over their life because you've already gave us your okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We come in praying for Robert Arcidas, dear Father, and Teresa Flowers, dear Father, and for the five individuals that have been called out by the demonic spirits, dear Father, and placing, saying, naming, claiming that there are tumors, hallelujah, on the brain. Oh, dear Father, he's rejecting the word. Hallelujah. But God, you have a way of getting people's attention. You have ways of getting God, your people's attention back to you, drawing them back to you. Hallelujah. You said, if your name be lifted up, you would draw them back. So I ask you to draw them to you, dear Father, that is not unto you now. Dear Father, in all of the frontal lobes and the stems of the brain and all throughout every tumor right now, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, we give it to you, Jesus. We hand them over to you to do as you would have it done. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, do it as you would have it to be done. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Powerful, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for just blessing Sister Giselle, dear Father, and as her body seems to weaken and man can't figure out what's going on and specialists can't seem to get their test to show them what it is that would be affecting her and the way that it is affecting her. But then Jesus Christ, your word, just stopped by and said, go talk to this young lady. And as we went and just to speak to her and asking her, what's going on? You seem to be not be feeling well. As she revealed in tears, your Holy Spirit just revealed and poured into her. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing me to be a witness to you, Jesus. And that healing that we proclaimed right there, we're thanking you for that same healing right now, all in the name of Jesus. And we're thanking you, Jesus, for bringing through, and we're asking you to deliver the entire Moreno family, for Stephanie Moreno and her father, as he's went through amputation of his leg, as he's went through different scary moments, dear Father, coming close to death, in the shadow of death. Dear Father, may your word make him reveal and come running saying, what must I do to be saved? May the ones that are around him live a life, hallelujah, including me, to say to the sinner man, oh, come on, what must I do to be saved? Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this word. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. More prayer requests to come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The scripture tonight is coming from the book of Revelation. Scripture tonight is coming from the book of Revelation, and it will start in Revelations 22. And let's just start at verse 11. Verse 11 in Revelations 22 says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, oh, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Verse 12 says, and behold, I come quickly. Oh, watch out. He said, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. He said, he's coming, and he's got my reward. Every breathing creature that's ever been born, whether you've died, whether you're still living, when he comes, he said, behold, I'm coming, and I'm bringing with you my reward. Hallelujah. My reward is with me. To give every man according to his works shall be. 13 says, I am the Omega. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am the first. I am the last. 14 and 15 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, for outside of these gates are dogs. For without are sorcerers. For without are whoremongers. For without are murderers. For without is idolaters. For without is whosoever loveth and maketh of lie. 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. So whosoever, 14, says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, for without are sorcerers. Are you without? Do you want to be without? Do you want to be out with the dogs? Do you want to be out with the sorcerers and the whoremongers and the murderers and the idolaters and the ones that love lies? You may even think that you do. You may even think that for now I'm just living this life. You may even be telling yourself, but you know, when I get older, I'm going to change. I'm going to come into Christ. I'm going to accept him then. You may be even telling yourself, well, you know, I don't have any problems in my life right now. If I was like her or him who has problems in their life, I too, hallelujah, may come and serve the Lord. But I come to remind you in verse 11, you know not the day or the time or the hour that your time is going to be up here. You did not give breath into your nostrils. You did not breathe it into your lungs to give life. And you don't know when he's coming to take back what he's loaned to you. And he's going to check with you to see what have you done with the talents he's given to you. But whatever it is, if he should come right now, just remember, if right now, if you're unjust and he comes back, verse 11 tells us that let him continue to be unjust still. What does that word still mean? It means for eternity. So, if he is filthy, let him continue to be filthy still. If you're a liar now, let him continue to be a liar throughout eternity. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Hallelujah. It's time to just reveal ourselves. Who are you in Christ? Are you pressing on? Are you pressing through persecutions? Are you pressing through? Are you wanting to reach your purpose? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 is a word for those of us who find ourselves in a struggle day after day. Some may say week after week. You may even go to say month after month, year after year. I feel like I'm still struggling. God would have us to know that we should not be struggling just to be struggling. We should no longer go into each day with the mindset that this is just another day of struggle. This is just another day of stress. This is just another day of strife. But as children of God, we should be able to find some joy. We should be able to find some peace, to find some happiness in the midst of any given situation, in the midst of any circumstance. We should be able to find some joy, some peace, some happiness. And when you think that it's all bad and nothing else is going good, there should be somebody in your life that should remind you and just look at you, and you should be able to just feel their joy. It should just kind of envelop you. You know, I find it interesting of how many people, just how many people are aggravated about joy. They're aggravated about your peace. Do you know somebody who's aggravated because you refuse to be down all the time and you enjoy happiness? they will say, well, I don't like that person because, you know, they're chipper in the morning. How can you be that happy in the morning? How can you have that much joy in the morning? Nothing's really happened to you already. They just don't understand. God has been good and watched over you all through the night. And some of us have even deeper stories. Some people have been told that they would never make it to see the day. Don't know what the story is behind that smile. You should have that same joy, just the fact that you were able to, that God chose to wake you up. I know we take that for granted these days. I know we live as though he's never coming. I know we live as though we're never going to die. So why so many of us never even get insurance? Because we live as though this is our home. We live as though that this is, we can build up our Tower of Babel, and we'll build our way to God if we necessarily need to. We will pay our way to God. We build up here so much as though that we are not leaving this place, as though that this is our dwelling place forever and ever and ever and evermore. Yeah, so many of us, we accept joy not. We accept peace not. We throw away the chance for happiness because we choose to be upset. You say, I know you don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm in the middle of right now. Hurt, disappointment, layoffs, eviction, whatever it may be, death, grief, divorce, whatever it may be. Can you believe me enough to believe and trust that God still has joy in the midst of that circumstance? It's some peace that's going to come out of that. You're not going to always feel that burning pain. You're not going to always lay down there in tears. God is going to allow you your time and your season to do those things. And then God has a plan to bring you out of there. It doesn't change what happened. It doesn't change what happened. It doesn't bring that loved one back. It doesn't bring that job back. But he has joy waiting for you through that. He has some peace that he's ready to just pour into your mind. He has happiness just waiting on you. We must not reject his joy. And as children of God, we should not be constantly flailing around in the winds of worry or getting caught up in the sinking sands of sorrow. Believe me, those sands are sinking. They will carry you down if you don't watch it. Worry will kill you. It won't solve your problems, but it'll give you problems. Worry adds to your bad situation. Worry takes away from your chances of hope. Worry takes away from your chances of comfort and peace, joy, happiness. Worry leads you to damnation. It leads you over to the sea of the sinking sand of sorrow. This is not the life of those who lean not to their own understanding. Those who run into worry every time a situation happens. Those who run to sorrow every time a situation happens. This is not the people that are speaking the word saying that I'm leaning not to my own understanding. This is not the life of those who leads that life. It's not the life of those who say, but I'm going to trust with my whole heart. No, that's not the life that they live. They don't run towards worry in the midst of the storm. They run towards Christ. The life to which we have been called is not one without challenges. If you've been lied to that once you give your life to Christ, once you stamp yourself and tell the world that I'm being baptized because I want to be a follower, I want people to know I was born into sin, But God has, I'm giving God the chance to wash me. As I sin, I'm going to repent. I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to say, God, keep working with me. And if you've been lied to and told that that means that all of your troubles are over, please accept my apology on behalf of the liar. But let me introduce to you the truth. This life that we live, to which we have been called, to which we have been chosen, to which we have been set aside, this life is not one without challenges. But it's one where regardless of what might come our way, the joy of the Lord is our strength. See, that's what separates us. We're all going to have rain in our life. But we're going to all have some sunshine also. But what separates us is that our separation comes when we understand that as children of God, when we're walking by faith, when we're trusting with our whole heart in our Father's outcome of our situations, regardless of what might come our way, we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if the joy of the Lord is our strength, in our time of weakness, why aren't we reaching out to the Lord? That's why we cry out. That's why we stay on our knees. That's why we turn down doing wrong and doing right when we could do the bad thing, when we could do the wrong thing, when sometimes our flesh is begging to do the wrong thing. We push ourselves and we run to the altar because we want to be in the Lord's will. Because we understand that we need to draw from his strength. We understand that if we're in his presence, we can draw off of his joy. We can draw off of his peace. Hallelujah. I know you're looking for happiness. I know it's hard to find. I know that even in the midst of where you're at in your relationship, I know when you hear some of the news, that some of the doctors is just flippantly just running off of their tongues, not doing second tests, not doing anything else, just here it is, here's what it is, and you need to do this here and get by. Next patient. And you're like, did he just tell me what I thought he said? And then you're left to deal with it. Jesus Christ is the head. And Jesus Christ is the one who is doing favors for you right now. And he has joy waiting for you, happiness waiting for you. Be ye not afraid. Be ye not afraid. God is waiting right there impatiently in line, patiently in line, patiently waiting for you. And it's something inside of you, that void, that nothing you do can really get you satisfied. But in the midst of all your friends, you still hear him calling your name. You still hear him calling your name. You still hear him calling your name. You still see that you know that you know that you know that you know. You could have been dead a long time ago, but he kept you healthy. You could have caught AIDS when all around you someone else made it, but you're still a clean. You know that he is your strength. You know that he's your protector. It's your time. Jesus tells us in John 16:32-33, he says, in me, ye might have peace. Hallelujah. Where's your peace? He said, it's in me. You might have peace. He says, in the world, ye shall have tribulations. But that's okay. He said, but be of good cheer. He said, that's okay. You're going to have tribulations, but don't just run and sit there in the midst of worry. He said, but that's okay. Don't just go dive into that sinking sand of sorrow. He said, but be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. If your child was in the midst of something and they're scared to get over this puddle, and you've covered this puddle up, and you're telling them, it's okay. Don't be afraid, but be of good cheer. Trust me. I've already overcome this for you. Come on, my child. That's what he's saying to you and I right now. It's for this reason that we are able to press on. It's for this reason we're able to push. Hallelujah. It's for this reason we're able to pray until something happens. Not just for the sake of pressing on, but we press on towards the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Again, we press on not just for the sake of telling my sisters and brothers, but I pressed on. We got somewhere that we're going. Not so we can brag, but here's how I did it. I didn't let that bother me. Okay, they told me I had this, and they said this happened, but I just kept right on moving. That's false. It's flesh wrapped around our bones. It's just that we don't get stuck there. It's not that we don't feel pain. It's not that things don't hurt us. It's not that we don't cry. It's not that we don't have to rebuke fear. It's not that we don't understand everything that goes on in our life. It's not that we think that we're better. But it's just that we have learned to trust in God with our whole heart. It's just that we start to lean not into our own understanding about our circumstances, about our situations. Hallelujah. It's just that we understand that in this life, we're going to have some challenges. We're going to have some tribulations. It's just that we understand that regardless of what the situation is, regardless of where we may find ourselves, we know without a doubt is nothing that you can say that would turn me against it. We know without a doubt that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. We know that in him we can find peace. We know that he has told us that he has overcome the world. So it's for that reason we press on. We press on towards the mark. It's a mark for a price that he said he's bringing to us, we read. The price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Some reports offer various names about who the writer of our text is. And amongst the names is the Apostle Paul, the tent maker. You know who I'm talking about, from Tarsus, the trailblazing theologian, the apostle called by Christ Jesus, Paul, who made a change in Paul's life before he was Saul. But when Christ Jesus came and washed him, such a new creature in Christ, he had to change his name. He's doing such a new thing in your life. People are not going to be able to no longer call you, oh, yeah, that's the liar. Oh, yeah, that's that whoremonger. They're going to have to call you now something with respect. They're going to have to call you now for prayer. They're going to have to call you now to be with them in a time of turmoil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul, the apostle we all can relate to, the one who oftentimes found himself perplexed on every side, yet did not give up. The one who counted it all joy when he found himself in a various trials and tribulations. I'm talking about the same Paul who reminds us that all things work together for the good of them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. That Paul, the Paul that had to press on with precision and with purpose, Paul. Otherwise, the challenges in his life would have caused him to just bow down to the assaults that life assailed against him, would have caused him to give up. The text helps us to understand three things that we need to do in order to press on with precision and press on with purpose. We need to hold on to God. We need to hold on to our goals. If you don't have any, you need to set some. And we need to hold on to the Holy Ghost. Come on, let's remember that. Say it with me. We need to hold on to God. We need to hold on to the goals. And we need to hold on to the Holy Ghost. And when we replay the seemingly catastrophic climb up Calvary Hill that we all got to climb up, that seems like that we're never going to get there, we remember the crown of thorns on his head, the crown of thorns on our Father's head. We remember the cross that was on his shoulders. We remember the crowd as they jeered. Then when he got to the top, there we see him driving, see them driving the nails in his hands and driving the nails in his feet. And as he hung between two thieves, as they gambled for his clothes beneath him, and as his mother watched helplessly beneath him, yet our Father Jesus Christ had the strength. Jesus had the divine desire to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the Father that holds your peace. If he could keep peace through all of that, why are you losing it just because of that bill right there? Why are you losing it because you put all this hope into man or woman, and now they've let you down? Uh-huh. Why did you put all your hopes and glory into your children, and now they've gone and forgot about you and won't even call you? He has your peace. He has your hope. He has your compassion. He has your joy, your happiness. It's your job to press on. Press on, my sister, with precision. Press on with purpose. Yes, Jesus has your strength. And while we're pressing on with precision and purpose, what people do to us is irrelevant. People are not our focus. And this life is not our goal, but a life of godliness. This is not our goal, people. I'm here to tell you. Listen to me. This is not your home. Because when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. So while we're pressing on with persecution and precision and purpose, keep our eyes off of what he said and she said, even what he said and she did. People are not our focus, and this life is not our goal. But this is a life of godliness. So we run this race with patience. So we fight the good fight of faith. With precision, we stay the course. And with purpose, we turn our eyes towards Jesus. As we close, the psalmist puts it best in Psalms 121. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. Because my help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. When the race gets you down, press on. When your hopes are handcuffed and your dreams are deferred, press on. When your headwinds of life slow you down, press on. When life is filled with delay, disruption, and disappointment, press on. Press past the mess. Stroll through the stress. Press on, my sisters and brothers. Press on. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, not on people, but on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're going somewhere with this thing. We have a goal set before us. Just press on. When you've been talked about, press on. When it seems like you can't go any further, press on. And if you do not know Jesus Christ, you have not taken the time to accept him as your Lord and Savior. It's my honor, it's my joy to stand before you, your sister, your friend, your minister, Evangelist Von Dumas. And I ask you to just repeat after me as I lead you into the glory of his lovely presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you for just being God. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you gave your only son and that he gave his life for me. He died for me. And I believe that there is no other way into the kingdom back to you but through Jesus Christ. I confess with my mouth and my heart that I am a sinner. And I invite you to come live inside of me, not just for now, but for forevermore. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. I feel you feeling that relief. If you just prayed this prayer, you, you are a new creature in Christ. And all things have passed away. Rejoice. All of heaven is rejoicing with you right now. You can reach me because I want to rejoice with you. It's important that you tell somebody. It's important that you find a Bible teaching church. I want to be in the midst of that for you. I want to make sure, regardless of where you're located in these United States or outside of the United States, I want to be there and help you as God leads you to your brook for where you should be, where your shepherd is waiting just for you. It's a seat just for you. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, walkwithmegod@aol.com. I never want him to leave me. walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can always leave a message here to Blog Talk. This is your minister, Evangelist Von, that's V-O-N, Dumas, that's D-U-M-E-S. Signing off, son. I love you. I'll see you next time. And God bless you. Press on. Good night.